Playing House, written by Nomad, read by CC Rambles. This is a Mo Da Zhishi fanfic containing the pairing of Tin Guangyao Soya Young and is rated T. Soya Young steps through the air and emerges into the secret heart of Koi Tower to find the unthinkable. Tin Guangyao, chief cultivator, actor without peer, self-made master of Koi Tower, is wearing an outfit that strikes fear into Soya Young's heart. He's wearing a cleaning apron. "Good morning, Xiaoyang," Tin Guangyao says brightly.
"Good morning,"
Soya Young says warily. "What are you doing with that?" "It's getting kind of dusty in here," Tin Guangyao says, sweeping his little broom. He looks like a housewife, the kind who would find Soya Young sleeping in her backyard and dump cold water on him to wake him up. Soya Young hates housewives. "Why don't you have a maid do it and then, you know?" Soya Young asks, making a throat-slitting motion. "That is just asking for trouble," Tin Guangyao says reproachfully. "Besides, I like cleaning."
"You like cleaning?" Soya Young repeats, sure that he's heard wrong.
"Cleaning after other people is terrible," Tin Guangyao says, and he pokes Soya Young in the belly with his broom. Soya Young knew he was right to hate that thing. "Like when little brother here brings home a mess. But cleaning your own space is fun because it's your space. Everything goes where you want it to go."
"Is that exciting?" Soya Young asks.
"It's not exciting, no, but I like it. It's tiring living in other people's houses, knowing that you're only there because of someone else's permission. But here? No one can tell me what to put here. No public opinion to weigh in, no one to impress. It's mine and it's for me."
"I don't get it," Soya Young says grumpily, and he bats the broom away.
"Do you have a space that you care about?" Tin Guangyao says. Soya Young shrugs. As a child, he got used to living his life on the road, moving from town to town when the local people grew to hate him too much, looking for the mythical place where he would want to stay. It never happened. People are cruel everywhere.
"What's the point?" Soya Young asks,
and Tin Guangyao laughs. He laughs and pats Soya Young on the head affectionately. "You're just like a cat," he says cheerfully.
"I'm not," Soya Young says sulkily.
"You're at home everywhere, no one can catch you, and you're fast and dangerous and like to sleep in the sun. Cat."
"No," Soya Young says, puffing out his cheeks.
Tin Guangyao accuses Soya Young of being childish, but if he doesn't want Soya Young to be childish, he shouldn't baby him.
"I don't want to be a cat."
"What do you want to be?" Tin Guangyao asks teasingly.
"I want a kiss," Soya Young says, sticking his face near Tin Guangyao's.
Tin Guangyao laughs again and gives him a kiss on the cheek. "No, a real kiss."
"Is that why you came here?"
Tin Guangyao asks.
"A little bit."
Soya Young was bored, and he thought he'd spend a little more time looking at Wei Wuxian's notes. Wei Wuxian's notes are sometimes indecipherable, sometimes strange, sometimes brilliantly enlightening, but they're never boring. Soya Young bets that Wei Wuxian hated cleaning. "I'm going to study," he announces and flounces off. Tin Guangyao laughs and keeps sweeping. Soya Young has a little room in the back end of Koi Tower, a laboratory stacked high with books and notes and demonic talismans. There's a low table covered with his notes and a messy bookshelf creaking with random objects. The ceiling is high and dark, and the whole place smells faintly of blood. Normally he enjoys it there, but today? Today he keeps getting distracted. He can't think. This is his space, isn't it? It's the only place he can think of that he's come back to over and over. The only place where he picked out everything. Or did he? Tin Guangyao gave him most of the things in this room. He stole some of Wei Wuxian's old papers, and these knives and ink, those are his.
But that futon, the one stuffed up against the wall, wasn't that a gift from Tin Guang Yao? Sue Yang remembers falling asleep and waking up with a blanket over him. He doesn't remember the futon appearing. Has it always been here? Has he ever bought anything for himself? The familiar confines of his room are starting to feel oddly sinister. Every book and every paper a reminder of someone else in his space. Who bought these chairs? Who bought this table? Who decided to put him here? He stands. The mess of his table feels like it's mocking him. He lifts the lamp and smashes it against the wall, plunging the little inner room into darkness. His breath catches in his throat. He doesn't want to be here. His body is crawling with revulsion, desperate for what? Where else could he possibly go? There's a wild howl imprisoned in his throat, and he just wants to tilt his head back and scream. But if he screams, then what? The sound would echo from the high walls and surround him, and he'd still be alone. Here, in the dark, the lamps extinguished, his room is a prison of scattered notes and knives and shapes he doesn't recognize. He stumbles his way to the door and slams his shin into something. The pain sends a shock through his body, and he kicks out in blind, frustrated rage. His foot hits something, and he hears a crunch. He starts to kick, caught up in the desperate urge to feel something crack under his foot, to move. He stumbles out into the hall of Koi Tower and heads back to the main hall. He comes around the corner with his breath coming fast and draws his sword and Tin Guang Yao isn't there. The absurdity of the moment only makes him feel worse, as if the room is mocking him by having him draw his sword on empty air. He stalks through until he hears the sound of water running, and heads back to the dungeons to find Tin Guang Yao doing dishes. Only those aren't dishes in the bucket, they're scalpels. Sui Yang had a lot of fun with those, and some dude who unwisely pissed off Tin Guang Yao enough to find himself tied to a table. The memory cheers Sui Yang a little, but not enough to make him lower his sword. Tin Guang Yao's back is to him, so Sui Yang taps him on the shoulder with Qing Zai's blade. "Why are you washing those?" he asks, and Tin Guang Yao turns to find the sword in his face. To his credit, he doesn't really react, other than a slow blink. "I don't want anyone to get sick from rusty instruments," he says. "Those are for killing people, though," Sui Yang points out. "When I kill someone, I want them to die when it's convenient for me, not for them," Tin Guang Yao says sharply. He steps past Tiong Zai and stands close to Sui Yang. "What is it?" Sui Yang doesn't know. He feels sick and his heart is beating too fast and he wants to break something, but it's just Tin Guang Yao here and that would be a stupid fight to pick. He feels embarrassed and that's the thing he hates the most of all. He feels stupid. Tin Guang Yao is looking at him, and it's so gentle. Kind of makes Sui Yang want to slap him across the face, but it also feels like maybe Tin Guang Yao would understand. "I smashed a lamp in my room," he says at last. "Do you want a new one?" Tin Guang Yao asks. Sui Yang doesn't know what to say. His face is hot and his breath is coming fast. Tin Guang Yao steps in a little closer and he pushes the sword aside, and Sui Yang lets him. Sui Yang lets Tin Guang Yao put Sui Yang's head on his shoulder and pet his hair until Sui Yang feels settled enough to speak. "I don't like my room," he says at last. "What about it don't you like?" Tin Guang Yao asks gently. "I don't know!" Sui Yang shouts. He takes a step back. "Stop asking me things, okay? I don't know!" "Come and help me wash these," Tin Guang Yao says after a long moment. "What? No." "I'll bet you it will help," Tin Guang Yao says, a glint in his eye. "I'll bet you a whole chest full of candy." "It won't," Sui Yang says sulkily and starts to wash. When he was younger, he worked for a little while at an inn washing clothes, but he hasn't done any washing since then. The water was always too hot and he would burn his hands, but it was an easy way to get money. Sometimes, when no one was staying in a room, Sui Yang would sneak into a place and lie down on the bed and pretend that it was his. He nicks himself slightly on one of the razors, and Sin Guangyao tisks at him. He lifts the little cut to inspect it, and then seals it with a little burst of golden light. Then he goes back to washing. How are there this many scalpels and handcuffs and towels and blankets and knives and things? This is ridiculous. There's too much stuff in the world. I don't really need anything more than just my sword and some money, Sui Yang says abruptly. What's the point of a house? Who needs all of this shit? Torture instruments and stuff. You can just use a knife. You're better with knives than I am, Ai Yang, Tin Guangyao says. Better than almost anyone, I'd say. I have a lot of practice, Sui Yang mutters. They keep washing. Tin Guangyao has cast a warming charm on a surface, and Sui Yang lays out everything to dry. The metal things need to be oiled. Tin Guangyao hands him a vial, and he starts to work on the hinges of some stubborn old handcuffs. If I had my own place, I wouldn't even know what I'd do with it, Sui Yang says. Whatever you want to do with it, Tin Guangyao says. Make it messy, or just leave it completely empty. It's your space. Empty. That sounds nice. Sui Yang thinks of the shuttered mansion of the Cheng members, of the way the wind blew through the open windows and stirred up the dust, and the creaking sounds of the old house, the way everything had been changed and transformed by what Sui Yang did there. No one dares to go there any longer. No one but Sui Yang. That makes it his house, doesn't it? Do you own the deed to the Cheng estate? He asks Tin Guangyao. No, but I could get it, Tin Guangyao says. No, Sui Yang says. I'll find it. I won't let anyone see me steal it, and I'll burn it. I don't want anyone to ever live there again. I like how it is. He finishes wiping down the chains and starts to dry off the little knives, this time being careful of fingers. They do look better like this, all shiny and lined up. They finish, and Tin Guangyao goes into the back and returns with some malt candy on a stick. He hands it to Sui Yang and says smugly, I win. Wart, Sui Yang mumbles through his mouthful. Tin Guangyao pats his face. Troublesome child, he says fondly. You don't need to have your own place. It's enough that you come back to the same places over and over.
I want a place, though. Sui Yang mumbles through his candy. Not a place you made, my own place.
Like the mansion? Sui Yang nods. The candy takes a long time to eat. It doesn't melt easily, and the sweet taste fills his whole mouth.
I don't want to clean it, though, he says,
and Tin Guangyao laughs. Of course not, he says. It wouldn't suit you. Now let's go look at the mess you made of your room.
Sui Yang's room feels much less sinister with Tin Guangyao standing by his side. They light a torch, and Sui Yang sees the thing that he was kicking was an old chest full of bones. He doesn't even remember whose bones they are. Tin Guangyao gets a look in his eyes. Let's throw away some of this, he says.
Like what? Sui Yang asks.
Pick anything you're not interested in, and we'll burn it, Tin Guangyao says. That perks Sui Yang up. He loves burning things. Tin Guangyao plops down on the futon, and Sui Yang grabs anything he can't recognize and piles it together. He's halfway through throwing out shit from his bookshelf when he realizes that Tin Guangyao has tricked him into cleaning.
You betrayed me, he says, affronted. I've never cleaned in my life.
I've stolen Ai Yang's first time, Tin Guangyao says, completely unrepentant, and Sui Yang pounces on him. He kisses Tin Guangyao's face over and over before bullying his way into Tin Guangyao's lap. He's warm, and Sui Yang can hear the little thump of Tin Guangyao's heart when he lays his head on the other man's chest. The sound of it dispels Sui Yang's jittery energy. It's comforting. It's the closest thing he has to home.
He looks up, and Tin Guangyao kisses him on the forehead.
Hmm,
Sui Yang says sulkily.
Do you want to go shopping?
Tin Guangyao asks. We can get you some new furniture.
Now that the moment has passed, Sui Yang isn't actually dissatisfied with the room. He's never really cared about stuff.
Nah, he decides. It doesn't matter.
Hmm,
Tin Guangyao says, and then he chuckles.
I envy you a little. It matters to me. Maybe more than it should.
Sui Yang shrugs.
It's all transitory, he says. Transitory is a word those fancy cultivator texts like a lot. They're always going on about the fleeting world and the impermanence of all things, but when you look at their houses and their lives, they cling to the material as much as anyone else. Sui Yang knows what it's like to have nothing, to really have nothing, to build his heart around a total emptiness.
It's fun, though, Tin Guangyao says. He doesn't act shocked that Sui Yang has done his reading, or tease him about the word not being in line with his image. Sui Yang doesn't know what love is, but it must be something like this. He likes Tin Guangyao more with each moment they spend together.
It is fun, Sui Yang agrees. He thinks about the little kitchen where they washed scalpels together, and about the library where Tin Guangyao likes to relax, and about the sight of him in his little apron, and he finds that he's satisfied with the picture.
I like it, playing house.
The end.